From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. March 3rd marks the start of the 2015 state legislative session. In addition to passing a roughly $77 billion budget, Florida legislators are expected to tackle a broad spectrum of issues, ranging from guns and gambling to high-stakes student testing, the state's troubled Department of Corrections, health care, and environmental conservation and restoration, to name a few. Our political analysis team takes a closer look at this year's hot-button issues and legislative proposals. Plus, a South Florida lawmaker has introduced a bill that would make it illegal for someone to use a single-sex public facility like a fitting room or restroom if their biological sex doesn't match. Supporters say the bill is a response to a human rights ordinance that leaves a loophole open for sexual predators. Opponents say it's a solution to a problem that doesn't exist. First, this news. Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live from WGCU News. I'm John Davis. Thanks for being with us. For the remainder of the hour, we'll be taking a closer look at a bill filed for the coming state legislative session known as the Single-Sex Public Facilities Act. The measure, sponsored by Republican State Representative Frank Artiles of Miami, would criminalize the use of single-sex public facilities like restrooms or fitting rooms by people of the opposite biological sex. Someone found in violation of the proposal could be charged with a misdemeanor and fined up to $1,000 or sentenced to a year in prison. The bill was filed in response to a transgender-inclusive human rights ordinance passed late last year in Miami-Dade. Representative Artiles says such ordinances create a loophole for sexual predators or voyeurs to enter an opposite-sex bathroom or locker room under the cover of law. Opponents of the bill say it unfairly targets the transgender community and says it's essentially a solution to a non-existent problem. Joining me now for a closer look at the bill and other legislative initiatives impacting the transgender community is Gina Duncan. She's the Transgender Inclusion Director with the LGBT rights advocacy organization Equality Florida. Gina Duncan, welcome to Gulf Coast Live.
Thank you very much, and thank you for having me on today.
We're also talking with American Civil Liberties Union of Florida spokesman Baylor Johnson. Thanks for your time today, Baylor.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
And also with us by phone is Corey Krichoon. She's founder of the Southwest Florida Equality Coalition. Thank you for your time today as well, Corey.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
And we invited State Representative Artiles to join our conversation this morning as well. And while he was open to speaking with us, we simply weren't able to make that happen for today's live conversation. But I do invite listeners to join us. You can connect with our guests by calling 877-GCU-TALK. That's 1-877-428-8255. Post comments and questions on our Facebook page at WGCU Public Media or join the live Twitter chat using the hashtag Gulf Coast Live. And Gina Duncan, let's start with you. First of all, I was hoping you could tell us just a little bit about what your role as Equality Florida's Transgender Inclusion Director entails.
Absolutely. It falls into mainly three buckets. Overridingly, my job is to make sure that transgender inclusion is woven into every initiative that is going on within the Equality Florida family and all of our initiatives across the state. As you might know, Equality Florida is the state's largest LGBT advocacy organization with over 200,000 members and sponsors. So my role falls into mainly three buckets: education. We do a great deal of education work with major employers in the Southeast and nonprofits. Advocacy work. We formed a statewide advisory board called Transaction Florida, which is made up of articulate, informed transgender people from all over the state, so that we can increase our scope and information going out about the transgender community and fight legislation like this across the state. And then lastly, and perhaps most importantly, public policy work in reference to working with local municipalities to pass human rights ordinances all over the state, and also, of course, to work in Tallahassee for legislation which ensures equality for the LGBT community.
And you've been in Tallahassee recently working to kill this bill. Why do you oppose it?
Well, obviously, from talking to national groups, that this bill has been called arguably the most discriminatory bill ever introduced in the country. And unfortunately, we're seeing bills similar to this being introduced in other states like Texas and Arkansas. We oppose the bill on so many fronts, it's almost hard to articulate. Number one, and most importantly, is that it dehumanizes transgender community and basically dismisses the transgender journey and the transgender identification that is recognized by federal agencies such as the EEOC under Title VII, the Department of Justice, the Department of Education as well under Title VII as well. So, number one, we oppose the bill and the fact that national agencies say that people should be able to use the restroom that aligns with their gender identity. And that's, of course, what we believe in, and that is in alignment with the transgender journey. Secondly, it criminalizes and makes it a misdemeanor for using the quote-unquote wrong restroom. And there's lots of holes in reference to this. If you have a parent, for example, who has a small child and they need to take that small child into the restroom with them, technically that would violate this. And I think most importantly wrong about this bill is the fact that it eliminates or usurps all of the human rights ordinances that have been passed across the state over the last 10 years. And Equality Florida has been working a great deal to pass those, and the most recent one was in Miami-Dade, and Representative Artiles did oppose that, but that did pass. And at this point, we're very proud to say that over 53% of the citizens in the state of Florida are protected by fully inclusive human rights ordinances. We're now working on the Competitive Workforce Act, which is a statewide anti-discrimination bill, and, you know, this bill flies in the face of that. It flies in the face of the business community who supports the Competitive Workforce Act. So the bill's not only will be very difficult to enforce, but the bill is insulting and basically stands on the wrong side of history.
Let's take a call now from Tamara in Naples. She has a great question for us. Tamara, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, you're live on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. My question is, when it comes down to the nuts and bolts, you know, you make a bill and then you pass a law, could the distinguished panel please explain what's the proposal for enforcement on this if they do pass the law and then it becomes something that the police have to enforce? Could they discuss what's been proposed as how you enforce the law? And I'll take my answer off the air.
Thanks so much, Tamara, and great question. Is this perhaps another issue with the bill? How exactly would this be enforced?
This is Gina. I'll jump in here. Well, that's one of the main fallacies of this bill, and the fact that it's basically, you know, if there is a complaint filed by someone in a restroom, then there would be an investigation, someone would have to prove their identity, and in essence, someone is pretty much presumed guilty until they are able to prove their identity, their gender, et cetera. So the enforceability of this bill is very difficult to refine and to define, and the penalty of up to a year in prison, and this being a misdemeanor for using the wrong restroom, where you can be arrested for simply using the restroom that aligns with your gender identity, is something that is absolutely wrong and flies in the face of the entire transgender community.
Well, let's take a look at the specific issue that Representative Artiles is looking to address with this bill. He says that the human rights ordinance creates a loophole that could allow, for instance, a male sexual predator or a man with voyeuristic intent to enter a woman's bathroom or locker room under the cover of law by simply saying, well, I feel like a woman today. Is that something that could hypothetically happen?
No, in reality, not. 21 states have done studies that have fully inclusive human rights ordinances along these lines and laws. And there has not been one reported incident in reference to this situation in any of those states over the last 4 years. So, number one, again, this is a piece of legislation that has no foundation for being because there is no enforceable action needed. And then secondly, And I think perhaps most importantly is the fact that the proposed legislation that Representative Arcila has laid out basically doesn't understand the basics of being transgender, in the fact that it's not like someone would want to, you know, throw on a wig so that they can perform some kind of deviant act in a restroom or something along those lines. You know, that is already covered by laws within our state, laws within our cities, and, you know, it's basically a situation that, A, doesn't exist. Studies have shown that with fully inclusive policies that these supposed predatory acts in restrooms would occur, not true, and no foundation for fact. And then lastly, that it's just not part of the transgender journey. No one wants privacy and safety in a restroom within a transgender person.
Mm. Well, let's talk about these, you know, transgender inclusive human rights ordinances, like the one that was passed last year in Miami-Dade County. Corey Krichoun, I understand that you began the Southwest Florida Equality Coalition out of an experience you had with a personal friend, a transgender woman, experiencing many hardships, all based on her transgender status. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that such protections simply aren't here in Southwest Florida. Is that the case?
That is correct. First of all, there's workplace discrimination against the transgender population. At least 50% of them go to that workplace. They lose their jobs, and then because they're not passable, then they can't get another job. And there's literally no protection, no law whatsoever in place that they can go to, turn to, and then, have their voices heard, because there's no such a policy. So that's why we're trying and we're working on to, with Equality Florida, of course, to pass such an ordinance locally in Collier and Lee County. And then, of course, the Florida Competitive Workforce Act, which would grant those rights to everyone in the state of Florida. That's what we should be concentrating on, not on actually undoing the work of so many people and literally going back into the Middle Ages instead of going forward. It's just incredible. This bill is just, I can't believe it. Instead of being inclusive and being understanding and being accepting and loving, we actually, this is just hate. I don't know how else to call it. Bigotry and hatred. Instead of, working together and actually giving protection to this population. They are the most affected. The transgender people are the most affected by these non-existing laws. And they, instead of protecting them, we want to take the rights of half of the Florida, people in Florida, they already enjoy those rights, and now we want to take those away? I mean, that's not a way to go. Sorry.
And Baylor Johnson, I think it probably goes without saying that the ACLU of Florida also opposes this measure. Is the ACLU involved in any kind of work to advocate against the bill or for the Competitive Workforce Act, as Gina was describing earlier, or even getting local human rights ordinances that are transgender inclusive passed throughout municipalities here in the state?
Absolutely. All of the above. We actually, over the last week, have gathered over 28,000 signatures on a petition opposing this particular bill. We've been working with communities across the state of Florida to try and pass these same local protections, which are so vital. And we're also on sort of a larger scale. Our national office and our affiliates in other states are looking at other bills that have been cropping up there that similarly attack the transgender community, which, you know, this is something that Representative Artiles has claimed about his bill, which is that this isn't an attack on the transgender community, that this is just a public safety issue. Well, you know, this absurd horror story that accommodating transgender people is going to lead to some sort of safety issues surrounding bathrooms rears its ugly head whenever legal protections for transgender people are brought up. We saw it happen with the amendment to the Miami-Dade Human Rights Ordinance. We've seen it time and time again. So whatever the representative claims about the intentions of the bill, it's hard to see this as anything other than an attack on the transgender community when you look at the context and you look at history. Transgender people face discrimination and harassment on a regular basis, and many times simply for doing basic things that many people take for granted, like using the restroom. And this bill makes that harassment and discrimination a function of the state. We think that it's absurd, and we're certainly doing everything in our power to keep it from becoming the law here in Florida.
Well, and Baylor, looking at the language of the bill, I was, you know, looking under, you know, exceptions and expecting to see something along the lines of folks who are in the process of transitioning or who have transitioned or perhaps were born intersex. The exceptions, of course, were different. They were actually for, you know, the owners of businesses that might have these public single-use facilities. But does the bill in any way address the fact that some people will have fully transitioned from one gender to another, or sex to another, I should say?
Well, unfortunately, no, it does not. And, you know, this law or this bill, if it were to become law, also puts the burden on business owners to monitor customers' use of restrooms and to, you know, essentially become gender police, asking intrusive and humiliating questions of customers or be at risk of liability themselves. So this isn't good for business, much less the customers themselves, whether they're transgender or not. You know, if a business owner, you know, decides that a person is, you know, insufficiently masculine or insufficiently feminine, they would have an obligation under this bill, if it were to become law, to ask invasive and humiliating questions about people's gender. You know, imagine a mom in a sweatshirt and a baseball cap leaving soccer practice or any other situation where a person may not be presenting what we traditionally think of as a masculine man or a feminine woman. So not only does this have serious implications for transgender people, but it also impacts business owners and the community at large. So we have a lot of concerns about this bill because we think that out of this sense of fear and this idea that there's something dangerous and these ugly myths about transgender people, a very, very bad and very dangerous bill has been written.
Do you think that danger extends to, you know, perhaps just social, society in general's understanding or perhaps misunderstanding of transgender people? And by that I'm referring to the, you know, high level of animosity that exists out there. Last summer, a transgender woman was found dead and burned in Fort Myers. That was ruled a homicide. In the last 2 months, 7 transgender women around the country were stabbed or shot to death, the most recent being a woman in Miami whose death is still currently under investigation as a homicide. You know, given this level of animosity that already exists, do you think bills like this are just add to it in a negative way?
I think they certainly can be really counterproductive, and I think you've touched on something really key, which is that protections for transgender people really are the next frontier in the fight for LGBT equality. I think, you know, a lot of people assume that because, you know, the marriage equality issue is coming, it seems, to an end, and the ACLU is very proud of the fact that our lawsuit brought about the federal ruling to end marriage discrimination in Florida. And it would be easy to think that because of that, and because we're nearing a ruling from the U.S. Supreme Court that could settle this issue at a national level once and for all, that the fight for equality for LGBT people is basically over. Well, it's not. Not by a long shot, and especially for transgender people. And the fact that legislators are filing these fear-based counterfactual bills is proof of that. We have a lot of work to do, and it's important that everyone who is committed to the cause of equality keep up that fight.
And Gina, final question as we're running out of time here. Is there really much concern that this bill could go anywhere? From my understanding, there's no Senate sponsor at this point.
Well, we've spoken. We do have people on the ground, and I was in Tallahassee last week. We did meet with Senator Dean's office in reference to the companion bill perhaps coming from his office, and at that time, there was reluctance to do so. I think that there has been so much pushback in reference to this bill, and there's been such an outcry of discrimination and pure hatred contained in this bill that senators are reluctant to be collateral damage and tarnish their legacy in the Senate because of this.
And, you know, I'm sorry, Gina. I'm going to have to cut you off there because we just have seconds left in the hour. But thank you so much, Baylor, Gina, and Corey, for being with us this afternoon. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Gina Duncan is the Transgender Inclusion Director for Equality Florida. Baylor Johnson is Director of Communications for the ACLU of Florida. And Corey Krychun is founder of the Southwest Florida Equality Coalition. Thanks to my producers, Richard Chinqui and Luke Martin. This is WGCU, Fort Myers, 90.1 FM, WMKO, Marco Island, 90.1 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.